Well, 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 look who decided to show up. Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm yours, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, sorry. I like to just blame it everything on Shane.
It's okay. I'm used to it. You know, I mean, it's like one of those awkward smells pops up in the elevator. Everybody looks back at me like, damn, am I the only one that can have gas? Come on now.
Yeah, I just like to look at the comments where they blame it all on you. You know what?
Where have you been, man? So much content. You couldn't get it all together in time?
Yeah, I mean, I've been working overtime over here, so... Yeah, we got an absolutely loaded show, Shane. Best week of SEC action to date. I've called this one rivalries, playoff spots, and jobs on the line this weekend in the Southeastern Conference. How about it?
I love it, man. I love it. The coach has been talking all day long and yesterday, and it's just like, I'm just thinking about all the great action we're going to have this weekend, man. It's going to be this may be the best football we've had in 2025, Mike.
Right. So, hey, before we get into the action, as always, got to remind the cousin, Shane, we're brought to you this football season by MyBookie. Go check them out. MyBookie, the online sportsbook, MyBookie.ag. That's the website. Go over there, check them out, put in an initial deposit of SEC to get you a bonus, Shane. It's a great way to help the show this football season if you want to get in on the action. Wink, wink. Head on over to MyBookie. And don't forget our other great friends, Shane, over at Tennessee Legion. Come on now. The best damn distillery in the state of Tennessee. Go check them out.
Absolutely. Yeah, and a lot of cousins have, Mike. I've been getting a lot of tweets, a lot of messages. We debuted one yesterday. Andrea Blackburn, a big Georgia fan. She's this week's Tennessee legend. So if you get in to the local distributor, be sure to take a picture and send it to me, and you'll be highlighted on the next show, as promised. And if you do get in there, not only you get a discount, but you also get a little gift. Come on now. Come in there and see our cousins.
Hey, shout out. Yeah. Matthew says he's tuning in from the squad car. I hope he's in the front, not the back. You know what I'm saying?
It's kind of tough with these cousins. You don't know which side they're on. But just curious, where you at? No. Tell my kid to slow down.
Well, I know where Brandon MacGyver's at, Shane, and he's in the front seat. Trust me, because he's just gifted a membership, Shane. I'm trying to see who he gifted to, but shout out Brandon MacGyver. He gifted a membership, Shane, to Brian. Brian, welcome
to the family. That or he stole somebody's phone, which I don't condone. No, I'm just
kidding. Hey, Junior. Junior's back, Shane.
Hey, Junior.
Gators is on a roll. Shout out Junior. He has gifted a membership to Ethan Wingo. Ethan,
welcome to the family.
All right, Shane, a lot to get into here.
Yes.
But before we do, how about this? I mean, this is wild. I just want everybody to be aware of this.
Yeah.
I thought Auburn was a big-time program, Shane. I don't know if you've seen this. Next season, they're playing Baylor. Return trip, right? They went to Baylor, whooped their ass. This next year, 26, it's in Auburn. Wait, not anymore. Not anymore, Shane. They've moved it to Atlanta. An SEC team is moving a game away from their great fans. And we always get told what a elite home field advantage they have, one of the best in the country, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's go play a stamping in Mercedes-Benz. What the hell are we doing here? And allegedly, Shane, this has all got to do with NIL.
Yep.
They're going to try to get paid. You know, you get more for these or neutral sites, whatever the hell. And I realize it's still going to be mostly Auburn people, but you're taking a game away from a campus where they're supposed to be played, where these fans deserve the games to be played. And I don't even know, you know, if you get season tickets, I don't think you get this game anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's an extra fee on top of it. It's travel. It's all kinds of bullshit. And I think this is disgraceful. And I also wonder, Shane, that how much of this, maybe I'm reading a little too much into it. But they're getting ready to fire Hugh Freeze. And it's like, hey, every penny counts when you're paying buyouts and you're getting a new coach. And I'm just putting the pieces here together. But what are your thoughts on an SEC program moving a home game You know, we don't get many of these non-conference home games anymore. Ripping it away after, keep in mind, this isn't like a one-off where Baylor's coming and we're like, well, we're just, we already made the trip to Baylor.
Yeah.
So we ain't getting them at home. I mean, I think it's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous for the fans, but I don't know if you've ever Googled what Mercedes-Benz means in German. Have you ever done that?
No.
I'll save you some time. It's Hugh Buyout. That's what that is in German. That's what it stands for. So they're trying to pile up some cash here because they're going to probably need it for that next coach that rolls in there on the plane. So all kidding aside, Mike, you know me. I absolutely hate neutral site games. I it's one of the worst things ever invented. I mean, there's a few that works, right? But it's different when you're forcing a neutral site game, which this will be doing. So now those fans will not get to enjoy that experience. They won't be able to have recruits. You know, there's a lot of bad. I mean, you're doing this for NIL, and this is one less game that you can have kids on your campus.
I hate it. I hate it.
Yep.
Professor Shane with the German translator, says Cousin Ken.
I'll tell you what, I broke my glasses taking it off. That's what I'm here for.
Hey, you know who I bet likes it because it is disgraceful?
Who's that?
Stephen.
He loves
it. For them boys in Tuscaloosa, it's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Stephen Up. He has gifted a membership, Shane, to Dark Helmet.
Ooh, Dark. Nice. Welcome to the family. My brother wore one of those growing up.
And then another one that'll like it, Shane, because he's a dog.
Yeah, there
the
he
legend,
is.
Legend, Cousin JR has done it again.
Hell yeah, cuz. Welcome.
Thank you. JR's gifted a membership, Shane, to James Carroll Pinson. James,
welcome to the family.
Courtesy of the legend, JR.
Got a lot of James in here, you know? I noticed that. Piling up the James in the family.
Matthew says, I'm driving the squad car. My arrestees are forced to listen to that SEC podcast. Yeah, give them a break if they like, subscribe, and share. Would you, Matthew?
Yeah, let them out, you know, let them out.
Everybody makes mistakes, you know.
Oh, shit.
All right, big game here. So many big games, Shane. The biggest of the big. And shout out, we don't know, this is the latest here on Tuesday. This is multiple tweets here. One from old Pete Thamel. Sources. Quarterback John Mateer pushing a return this week for the game against Texas. There's a belief that his return is possible as he's reacted well to surgery. That's a report from Pete Thamel. And then shout out our guy Josh Pate. How about this, Shane? Per FanDuel, sources say Texas, which this is the spread right now, Texas 1.5 is with John Mateer assumed playing. Without Mateer, they would make the game Texas favored by 5.5. So, again, that's very interesting. Yeah. And as of today, Shane, the line is 1.5. So, just reading between the lines there, Shane. What are your thoughts on all this reports and this, that, and the other with John Mateer?
I think he's playing. I think one of my favorite ones is Cousin Eddie. He was. Did you see the one where he's hiding behind the bushes out there?
Oh, yeah.
He says, it's sunny.
I've got 80. The notifications on for Eddie this week. You
he
know
says, 85 degrees, it's sunny, but they're practicing indoors. Why would they do that if they didn't have John Mateer slinging the rock out there and taking advantage of that little competitive edge coming into this Red River? That's what I think is happening. So, yes, I do think John will be there, and I don't care what Brent says, because Vegas is almost 99.9%. Right. So if you see that line move quick, then that means John's out. So until then, I'm betting John's in.
Would you go in to have that though? Or I mean, I think it. I would just as that makes me think he's not playing. Because again, you want to keep it to where no one knows.
Oh no. Well, I mean, why would you if John's in there getting the reps? I mean, now you just excluded Mike Hawkins from being your quarterback, but indoors where nothing's getting leaked, you don't know who's taking the snaps back there. So I think it's
that's 100% what I'm saying. It's more up in the air. You're saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. It is an advantage. You're asking me if he would be the quarterback. I think he's definitely going to be the quarterback. That's why they're indoors.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. And that was because of Eddie, that smart bastard.
See, I'll disagree with you. I think it's Hawkins if they're doing that.
Why would they do that?
Because John Mateer is so damn good, Shane.
Yeah.
I want him to know he's playing. We're going to whoop your ass, and we're going to tell you who we're going to whoop your ass with. Meanwhile, we don't want any information. We don't want him to know who the quarterback is. That's why we're practicing indoors.
Well, and that's where I disagree with you, Mike, because I think the competitive edge here would be having Texas prepare for two different quarterbacks. I mean, they're not crazy different, but I just feel like if they don't know, then, well, maybe that, I mean, to your point, that it could be a factor why they're bringing them indoors just to
just do to play
what
games.
We're doing
the,
right
the
now,
playing
you
games,
know?
You know? And here's the head man. I don't have a lot of clips, but I thought this was interesting. So this is two Brent Venables questions smashed together, asked about old John Mateer. Again, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he plays poker or not, but we're going to find out here on Saturday.
Yeah, Brent, has John Mateer ramped up at all this week, and has he been able to throw the ball at all?
He's doing his normal protocol. He's done zero good-on-good work.
Gotcha. What is it about this injury that...
I don't know. I'm just going to cut you off. I don't know anything about the injury. So I'm just, when they tell me he's available, I'll let y'all know.
Right, you talked last week just about balancing him wanting to play versus keeping him healthy the rest of the season, mm-hmm. Preserving that. Just how's that balance? How are you going about
it? I'm just lean on the doctors. I'm not an expert in any of it. So I literally, that's the extent of it.
When you have this situation with the quarterback this week, I know last week you knew it was going to be Michael. This week it seems like maybe it's up in the air. How do you go about it?
John is doing no good-on-good work, so it's Michael and Witt right now.
Okay.
So something changes, I'll let you know.
How have you seen, I guess...
But I think if you're going to play, you got to do good-on-good, right?
Right.
Throw some Skelly, hand the ball off, you know, play on third downs, so...
So going off that, how have you seen Michael, I guess?
So if he was, like, in the facility, would he have, you know, picked up a football and threw it at some point? That's like, how many ways can you ask the question? So,
yeah, well, but I mean, this backdrop is not going to go away, Shane. This is going to be a week-long affair of will he, won't he?
Yep.
And really, I think... you know, that is a huge storyline, but to me, it's all about these defenses, because mm-hmm. both of them are going to have to step up, whether it's Michael Hawkins, whether it's a John Mateer that is he at 100%, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's obviously a struggling Arch. you know, I mean, if first team to 20 points, I think is going to win this game. You think that's a fair assessment?
I think that's a very fair assessment, and because I do feel like this is going to be a low-scoring game, and if it may come down to some mistakes on offense, right? Does Arch throw a pick? Does Hawkins fumble the football, you know? So I feel like that's what this game's going to come down to, and who capitalizes on those.
Any benefit, I don't know if it's a benefit because you just got your ass kicked on the road, but any benefit for Texas, because this is kind of what it's been rattling in my head all week, Shane. Your back's against a wall. You're 3-2. You go 3-3. You're done. You're eliminated from the playoff. Meanwhile, you know, I'm sure there's no thought in Oklahoma's head like, hey, we can drop one. We'll be fine because they got a damn gauntlet. They can't really afford to let any get away.
Right.
But any advantage to Texas, I mean, they got to throw the damn kitchen sink in Oklahoma, I would feel like. Is there any advantage there for Texas in that regard?
I don't think so. I think... maybe the opposite, maybe a little too tight. You know what I'm saying? It seems like teams that have, like we talked about the Florida Gators, the Gators had nothing to lose last week. That's what made them dangerous. Texas has everything to lose in this game, not just the biggest rivalry on that side of the Mississippi, but more importantly, it's your opportunity to get to a college football playoff, your chance to get to an SEC championship. All that goes out the window, even though most fans already think you have, but Texas fans think, hey, we just got to win out, and that's the mentality they're going to have coming in this game. And I feel like coming in tight like that makes you a little more conservative in your play calling.
Shout out Cousin Matt. He's picked up on it. I hope he's a poker player, Shane. He says, Brent Still is tapping a podium.
Damn.
So go back, rewind that, and let's see how many times.
We need a cruiser update. Get the guy in the back.
So I, you know, I've been watching. Now, where do you stand on Old Arch, Shane? Because, hell, he's like a lightning rod. Anybody that's seen it, I don't even want to give him any kind of attention. But there was an outlet, let's just say that, that basically was like, Arch means terrible and garbage, and I mean, hell, I saw even Oklahoma people were jumping on these bastards that wrote this nonsense because Arch has not been awful.
Yeah. I thought he's gotten better.
The problem is he's been hyped up to be God's gift to football, and he's not there yet.
Yeah.
And he may never be there, but he's not awful. You know, there's a difference there. Was there anything you saw, whether at Florida or at all this season, that gives you hope that, you know, if Arch plays his best football on Saturday, that Texas can win this game?
This could be the game, right? This could be the plant the flag game that you get back on track, right? This is the flex game. You beat Oklahoma, then all of a sudden, you got Kentucky right around the corner. That's an opportunity. And I'm not saying that Texas has an easy path, but dude, give me Kentucky and Mississippi State back to back after this game. And then all of a sudden you could talk some serious momentum in this league. But it all starts, I think, personally, Mike, not with the quarterbacks, but I think at the line of scrimmage, because that was who the villain was in that game down there in Gainesville. Arch was running for his damn life. So I feel like those big uglies up front, the highly touted guys that we claimed were going to be in the NFL one day, they have got to jail. They got to be cohesive coming into this thing, and they're going to get punched in the mouth by some big old boys across over there that's been waiting for this opportunity. And I feel like that is the battle that we need to be watching.
Right. And then how about this, Shane? I've not heard a lot of people talk about this, but there's another mismatch, I think, in this football game, and that's Oklahoma's offensive line.
Yeah.
Which is not playing too well going up against Texas defensive front. Now, you could rightly say Texas defensive front maybe got exposed against Florida, but Florida, we were told, as an elite offensive line, and they really do have one of the best running backs in the country in Jaden Ball. So they took advantage of that. But I have seen nothing from Oklahoma that suggests they can do what Florida just did. And John Mateer essentially was the running game. Mm-hmm. So just like Texas, we're Arch. we're 6 weeks, 7 weeks into the season here. We don't want our quarterbacks to be the damn running game. We said the same thing about Marcel Reed at A&M, and they've adjusted. Oklahoma has not yet adjusted to that.
Right.
How big of a concern is that for Oklahoma on the offensive side, whether John Mateer plays or not?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like Texas defense got humanized a little bit last week, but you know, I think you should take that personal. And how do you rebound from that? I feel like there were some individual battles, you know, in that game that got lost by those Texas players. And I feel like those individuals are the ones that need to step up this week coming into here. And you're right. Again, we go back to the line of scrimmage. I feel like Texas feels like they should dominate that side. Oklahoma feels like this is their year. You know what I'm saying? Does Oklahoma just come in there beating their chest? I don't think so, but you know, I feel like this is every damn minute of this week, whether it be film study or practice or walkthroughs or whatever, it is completely necessary to be dialed in or you're going to lose.
Yeah. We got one guy, Mars, our O-line's playing well. 102nd in the country in rushing the football. I mean, that's elite, brother. Come on now. I mean, it's a real, real problem. So, again, this is going to be quite the matchup here and with everything on the line. So,
but Florida saw something. Florida found something.
Right.
And can Oklahoma's offensive line, you know, lean into that? Or does Texas, fix that? Because that's all this is. It's chess match through the season and which coach will prevail, you know?
Now, that's kind of what was one of my biggest questions, because I've been watching a lot of these guys break down the film, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Arch ain't that bad, you know, this, that, and the other. Well, I don't understand why Sarkisian didn't adjust in the Florida game.
Yeah.
And we'll see how he, because they just making it simple. They were not doing him any favors with the way they were calling the game. So we'll see if they adjust. They better, because Oklahoma's defense is a hell of a lot better than Florida's. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, we got to move on because there's other big games in this league this weekend, Shane. How about Alabama, mighty Alabama, on the road at Mizzou, Shane. And buddy, oh buddy, Caden Green, status, Eli says, just keep an eye on that injury report. So he's not giving away anything here, but Alabama's red hot, looking like maybe the best team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And hell, if they're not, maybe it's Mizzou, Shay, because they've been whipping everybody's ass here. Going into this matchup, how do you see it, Shane, where, man, this is the game, I think, where Missouri can capture the nation's attention here and get to 6-0, and, man, they'll be slotted in for a playoff spot. If they're good enough to beat Alabama, they can beat anybody on their schedule.
Yeah, I feel like, man, there's a handful of teams that people are just, they just doubt, you know, and Mizzou's one of them, because they look at this schedule and they said, who have you played? You know, last year they would have said South Carolina was a big win, but they're not saying it this year. You know, Kansas, they would have said it was a big win if they lost, or a big loss for sure if they would have lost. But it's just, it feels like they still got one more to prove. And then Alabama, all they are doing is just proving the doubters wrong since week one. And I feel like that's kind of the case here, you know, and I think this is a great opportunity for Mizzou to kind of, similar to Oklahoma and Texas game, like plant your flag and say, hey, we plan on being one of those teams that are talked about in late November, early December. You know, we've got a better football team than we did last year. You know, we've got a better quarterback. We've got two of the best damn running backs in the country, and we're so damn efficient that we think that we can run all over you. And that's the mentality they're going to have in this football game, but no one hears it. It's falling to deaf ears until you go out here and you prove it. So I feel like this is a big prove it game for Mizzou, and for Bama, it's one that you just cannot afford to lose because you're on the right side of the tracks, right? Florida State's getting further and further away from you. And I feel like the more that happens, the more we feel like Kalen DeBoer's the right guy. But I think you reset all of that if you go on the road and you lose to a team that no Alabama fan expects you to lose to.
Where would you rather be, Shane? What position? Were you Alabama? You're battle tested, but maybe you're a little. Again, this is an elite roster, so I'm not going to act like they can't get up for three games in 3 weeks. But that's their situation.
Yeah.
While Missouri is rested, and they've, you know, they played an SEC game, but it was a couple weeks ago. So yeah. I don't know. Where would you rather be? The red hot, but maybe a little fatigued, or the red hot but rested team?
That's a great question, man, and that's a tough one to answer. I think being rested at home's important. You know, just like Bama banged up going on the road because they've had some very physical games. You got to remember too, Mizzou was able to rest a lot of their starters in the third quarter of that last game. So they've had time. You know what I'm saying? I've caught a few of them down in Cabo. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like you got to be careful because right now you feel like you're invincible and this is maybe what you need. That I feel like that's kind of the attitude you need to have coming into this Bama game, you know? So I don't really know what the answer is, but if it gets my tackle healthy, waiting one more week, I'm all for it, man.
Right. And they're in a unique position. You kind of already hit on this where they're kind of doubted.
Yeah.
But that's very typical with Missouri where people are doubting them. But they are oftentimes, they kind of like doubt themselves. Remember when Caden Green, you know, oh my God, he's going to be out for the South Carolina game. Why is this evil always happen to us? We can't have anything nice. They whooped South Carolina's ass. Didn't really even need him, at least on the ground. So, you know, it's doom and gloom till it's not. I don't sense any doom and gloom. I haven't heard from one Missouri fan, Shane, that thinks they're going to lose this damn game. and that's the right mentality to have, but it's pretty wild, isn't it, how everybody else doubts them, yet they're so confident, and I think that's a perfect place to be as a fan. You know what?
And they don't want to talk about it, but this is the same conversation we had this time last year going into that Texas A&M game, right? Mm-hmm. That was the game that was going to set up how good Mizzou was and their dominance and all that, and it just went right out the window. So I feel like that's the key here is you can't – you got killed by Bama last year. Now, granted, your quarterback didn't even have an arm. I mean, this should be a better matchup, but you cannot afford to get down multiple scores with the way this Alabama team's playing right now, because this is probably one of the most efficient offenses I've seen down there in Tuscaloosa in quite some time.
Yeah, a great question here from Chase. We appreciate you. Bama's got a, like, literally the average defense of when it comes to rush defense.
Mm-hmm.
Vanderbilt had a lot of big runs. Now, they clamped down in the second, but they had a lot of runs on them. Mm-hmm. Florida State ran all over their ass. If Hardy gets 150-plus, what's your confidence Mizzou win, Shane?
Oh, 150%.
Wow, really?
Yeah, if he 150 yards, yeah. That something is going right, because I feel like this is a Bama team that is going to force Bo to win this game. And if they don't have that box loaded, then fire Womack. I don't know what, you know, I feel like this team needs to be tested vertically and with the arm of Bo than it does, you know, just letting him and Roberts run all over you.
You know who I think will take that bet, Shane?
Who's that? Prize Picks?
Ty Simpson. He don't give a damn, Shane. He don't give a damn. He's looking at that Mizzou secondary. Said, I'll toast these bastards. They could run up and down the field on us as long as we're putting it in the end zone and they're settling for field goals. Or, hell, remember, their kicker's out.
Yeah.
They could be missing field goals and be getting rushing yards. So, I'm 1,000% or whatever you said. I don't think so. I think it's still I still say about 50-50. Because you got to stop Bama, too.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I really do.
I think it could be. I think it could be an exciting game, too. And that's what I like. It's just now I feel like – because last year I didn't feel like they could go toe-to-toe with Bama offensively, you know. But now, man, I feel like this is – especially after I watched Vanderbilt put some points on Alabama, after I watched Georgia move the ball on Bama, Florida State. I mean, this is a defense that has a little bend to it. And if that happens, I feel like that bodes well for what Mizzou wants to do as far as that rushing attack.
Yeah.
And hey, keep him off the football field, you know?
Right. Yeah, that could be critical. Speaking of critical... I don't know how to transition from that. Shout out, Peyton Brooks gave us $5. Can I get some Tennessee legend confidence from Shane for the Sooners? Need a few good reasons why Texas is going to lose.
Well, just watch that Florida game again. You ain't even got to watch the whole four quarters. Just watch the first half. You'll be fine.
Oh, and hey, what other clip? This is the only other clip I have. It's a short one. Maybe this will give Peyton some confidence, because I thought this was weak as hell. Let's kick it over to Sark.
Either your games against Power Four teams, and I'm just curious how so many people, including myself, could be wrong about your team, and how stunned are you?
You're not. I don't know if I'm stunned. I mean, take the other. How many teams are there in college football? 136. Take the other 135 and have them go play at Ohio State and at the Swamp. See how they do.
Oh, the Swamp. Who survives the Swamp, Shade? I'll tell you. South Florida, come on, Sark. We can't be giving these bullshit excuses. You look like trash out there, and you got to get that fixed.
So that's going to be their chant next week. We won Ohio State. We put us in the SEC.
I mean, how weak is that? You know what?
This is stuff that you need to keep inside. You know what I'm saying? This is inside thoughts getting outside. I've been there, but it's usually alcohol induced, you know. Sark looked pretty sober there.
Well, speaking of sober, Shane.
Terrible joke. Sorry. That was not a joke. That just came out.
Well, I just thought you meant because we're jokes, not anyone else.
Yeah.
Shout out, Shane. Georgia at Auburn. Come on, buddy. What a matchup this could be. Hey, point spread. This point spread stunned me, Shane, because Georgia owns.
Yeah.
Auburn's ass. Of course, Georgia owns a lot of us in the SEC, but 3.5-point favorite is Georgia. Just a 3.5-point favorite. Auburn's had 2 weeks to prepare. This is a circle the wagons type game, I really do think. You win it, you save the season, you lose it. It's probably going down in the toilet, perhaps. So, meanwhile, Georgia, they've had their mulligan. Can't afford too many others, but this is going to be the, I think, far and away, their toughest road trip for the rest of the season. So, very, very interesting game. What are your thoughts here on Georgia at Auburn?
Man, this one got that same stink that Florida-Texas game had last week. It's like, I feel like Georgia should just win this one. This shouldn't be a conversation we're having, you know? I felt like, hey, is the starter's going to stay in there the entire game? That's kind of the attitude I felt like we should have coming into this one, but I don't know, man. There's just something about this game. You want to talk about a rattlesnake in the corner? That's Hugh Freeze right now. And I feel like, you know, he doesn't give a shit where the Baylor game's played next year. He just prays that he's there. You know what I'm saying? So I really feel like this is a ball club that has had some close losses, and they can't afford any more of those. So, yeah, Georgia's about to get the best damn Auburn that you've seen in, since Hugh Freeze has been down there.
Well, I don't know.
Georgia's a suspect too, man.
Yeah, but who's more suspect is Auburn in that offense, because their defense is legit.
Yeah,
their defense will keep him in his ball game. But we have seen Gunner. Now we've seen him, you know, be a little inconsistent, but he looked like $1 million against Tennessee on the road. So I don't think they're going to be afraid to air it out. I don't think they're going to be afraid to ask Gunner to win him this football game, which he may have to do.
Yeah,
but man, what? What's your confidence that Hugh Freeze will make the correct adjustments and get this offense going? Because it doesn't, you know, again, he's not throwing anyone under the bus this year, so he is getting better in that regard. But, you know, it's him saying, hey, we got to run the ball, and then he doesn't run the ball. Offensive line's in trouble. Quarterback still don't know where in the hell he's at. Is he good? Is he bad? I can't tell because he's just getting destroyed.
He did say players in the press conference. He did say individual player, but he did make a mention that they've made some mistakes. I guess he did talk about the tackle that has the hearing problems that's corrected. So now the cadence won't be an issue. So there was a few shots in there, but I don't know. At the end of the day, Mike, you've got some studs on this roster that we all know about. You know, Cam being the biggest one, right? We got to find ways to get your best players the football. And I feel like up to this point, that's where we've failed miserably. And if you're not doing that, then you're not going to win these close games. The defense is doing everything it can. This is you're talking about unsung hero. This Auburn defense is a million times better than it's been in years. You know what I'm saying? And it feels like we're just pissing against the wind when we put our quarterback out there to go three and out. So that's for me, Mike. I just got to see my big time players get big time opportunities. It's got to happen. You've had 2 weeks to make it happen.
Pissing in the wind. How about
been there? It's not fun.
You know who else I bet has been there, Shane?
Who's that?
Shout out Carl Junkins.
Hey, $10. Carl.
Will all these poser fan bases cry when the Vols win it all? Checkerboard tissues available.
Oh, man. We're getting to them, right? That's good we're not talking about it. It shouldn't be a close game, so.
You know, for these games, these big-time conference games, now, this is overly simplistic, but a lot of times, and I believe it was the wise Nick Roush this morning that said, hey, you lean the quarterback, you lean the team with the quarterback and the coach.
Yeah.
And I think both of those heavily favor Georgia. Is that fair?
That's fair. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not revealing anything here, but I don't know, Shane. I've always been out on Auburn. Now, I was kind of bought in a little bit. I gave them credit when they won the Baylor game. But they just have looked so bad, I guess, on offense. Mm-hmm. I guess Oklahoma and A&M. And then Georgia should get – I mean, that's the last team in the world I want to have a get-right game against. Yeah. Don't you think that's fair?
That is fair, yeah. But – you talk about a get right game, an old rival like this fired up again. I mean, this place, I want to highlight it here because this is something important. Auburn's retiring. So you remember the infamous number 2? Ken, was it Cam? No, Deuce. Can Deuce wear it? And he said, hell no, we're going to retire his thing. So not only are they retiring Cam's jersey, but it's going to be an electric environment, man. This is – Auburn fans always show up. They're always expecting to win these games. And honestly, Mike, if it's within a field goal, Vegas is telling me, we may have a chance this year. And I feel like that is the – that is the lightning rod that's needed down there on the plains, right? That's the one that Hugh Freeze can beat his chest and say, hey, we finally made it over the hump. We don't have to wait another season to get this thing going. So, yeah, I feel like this is a perfect opponent to get back on track with.
Perhaps, Shane, perhaps. But I can't help but see, I see where you're saying.
Yeah.
And I see where the fans are at in a game like this where they will show up. It will be insane environment.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Georgia has survived an insane environment already at Neyland. But I just think it's far more likely that this is one where, like, all right, the fans are fully in, and they're like, our boys, we can do it. You, we believe in you. And then if they shit the bed, place is going to start burning. I mean, yeah. I feel like that's realistic too, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I do. And I, you know, it's funny, not to go too far ahead than tomorrow SEC hangover, but I got a little section. I'm going to be talking about fired coaches in the SEC. Most of them make to week 10. So we're not quite there yet. So I'm not saying Hugh Freeze has some wiggle room here, but he may be safe one way or the other, but I get what you're saying. This is when the buyers start coming together. This is when the boosters start putting some money in the pot and saying, all right, enough's enough, you know. And they've invested a lot for Hugh Freeze, not just getting him down there, but you talk about NIL, brother. This is one of the leading programs for it. And, you've got the product down there. You just can't do anything with it.
Do you think it's fair to say the team that makes the fewest mistakes will win this game?
Maybe. I just feel like I think explosive plays, some big time plays by either team mm-hmm. wins this one, you know, whether it be, you know, because Kirby was asked about basically, do you miss Brock Bowers having right. that guy that could take over? Do you remember that? And he's like, hey, we've got plenty of guys here. And I could say the same about Auburn. It's just those explosive plays on both offense and defense. We've not seen so much with Georgia and Auburn. So I feel like who leads that 30-plus category could be the winner of this game.
Right, and I think, Shane, you've done such a good job of convincing me. I think I'm back into your mind. So basically, Georgia
yeah.
is not – they're still very, very good.
Yes.
They could win the SEC. They could win the national championship. But the separation between Georgia's roster and Auburn's roster, just talking this year
mm-hmm. –
it really isn't that difference, is it? And, yeah. and Auburn's got all the tools to get those explosive plays with these receivers,
yeah.
with even Jackson Arnold. And I would even argue, perhaps, I don't think this is a bold – let me know if you think this is a bold statement. I think Auburn's defense may be better than Georgia's.
Auburn's defense. I think they're playing better than yeah. Georgia's. Yeah.
So, again, you're at excuses, Hugh. You know, get it
yeah.
done.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. This may be the game of the week right here. You know what I'm saying? So, oh, I know them damn War Eagles down there would like to have something nice happen for once, you know? Damn coaches retiring out of the blue, and now you know, Hugh Freeze is two losses in already.
Well, you know who's a couple wins in, Shane?
Hey, Carl.
Carl Jenkins, shout out. He gifted 5 memberships, Shane. Carl, we appreciate you, buddy. Jed Newton, Brandon. Oh, wait. Nope. Jed Newton, Texas, 3805. M. Moore, 20. Michael Bridge and Nick Hurst, you've all been gifted. Thanks to Cousin Carl. Welcome
to the family.
Oh, and even sweeter is Mr. Rolls Royce. Shane just gifted 10 memberships.
What a man.
Just like Billy Bob, F and 10 here. He gifted Hat House, D. Mayor, what a name, Shannon Wilcutt, Our pets' heads are falling off. That's his real name. Shout out, Dumb and Dumber. Mac 10, that's probably the name, the nickname of this show, Dumb and Dumber. Vondue X, Tommy, G-Man, and Gusto have all been gifted. Thanks to Rolls Royce Pierce. Welcome to the family.
Thank you, Rolls Royce.
Oh, baby. And not to be outdone, Shane?
Yeah.
SEC Sean, our other cousin. Shout out SEC Sean. He gifted five.
Hey, buddy.
Five memberships, Shane. C. Gaddis. Hio de Simp. I think that's a Latin for something. Leighton Sharp. Bonga 007. And Dog 222. Welcome to the family. Courtesy of SEC Sean. He's our new co-host.
I like that. SEC Sean.
And Rolls Royce gave us 20 bucks. Got out of the engine room in time to catch you guys live. Heck yeah. Thank you,
Hell
Rolls Royce.
Yeah. Well, how's life in the engine room these days? I don't. Was that like a train? I don't know. You got me wondering, Rolls.
Mm, well,
engine room. We're in the engine room right now.
Yeah. You know who's really in the engine room, Shane?
Who's that?
Them Gators. Come on, buddy. This is their third consecutive game. No, excuse me, fourth. I guess a top 10 opponent. Can you believe that, Shane? Florida getting hot at the right time, or was it a fluke? That's going to be the big question here. A&M, you know, maybe not playing their best football, but who in the hell cares? They're 5-0. They're like number six in the country.
Yeah. That
could be... I mean, hell, the way if they put it all together, it could be the national champions. What's your thoughts on Florida at Texas A&M?
Billy Napier's got a chance to be the Grinch, huh? Running around stealing everybody's college football playoff opportunities. No, this one, man. This one, it's funny that we're not even talking about it. You know, we've talked about so many games, but this one right here could be the one that. We're talking about Sunday. I always try to figure out which game are we going to be talking about Sunday night. You know, which one do we have an emergency pod? How many emergency podcasts can we have for a Florida win till we're not doing it anymore? So, man, I tell you, Billy Napier playing with house money right now. This is a dangerous, dangerous football team. Texas A&M is the one that has everything to lose here because everybody thinks you're back. Everybody thinks that this is the team. This ain't the same old 8-4 Aggie team. Man, we got ourselves a damn fight. That's what we've got. I feel like this team, as far as strength on strength, is going to be the highlight for me. Texas A&M rushing attack against this defense that does not allow it. You know, Texas A&M, I just feel like there's so much that could happen here, and it's going to be a fun, fun football game, man.
Now, you've had your pulse. Or your finger on the pulse of Florida, I should say, all year long. You called this a house of cards. I laughed in your face. And then the whole thing started to crumble.
Yeah.
And you said, you know what? I got a wild hair up my ass. They're going to beat Sark and Arches this week.
Yeah.
And boy, did they ever. So where are you feeling? I mean, was that a fluke?
Yeah.
Or was last week maybe the Florida that I promised we were getting. Where do you think the truth is? Can the professor look in his spectacles and let us know?
I'm a little torn on this one, man. Just because I really like how Texas A&M's playing. As far as just total compliment, if you look up complementary offense, defense in the Webster dictionary, you're going to see a big picture of these Texas A&M Aggies. Just because for everything that happens positive on the offense side, it just benefits the defense. They're just together, and it's rare. And it's so rare. 2025. You'll see some football teams, they've got the passing figured out, but the rushing sucks, or the rushing's figured out, but the passing sucks, or the defense. You know, you look at, like, we're about to talk about Arkansas. Man, that offense is just unreal, but that defense is the worst I've ever seen. So that's what you get right now. It's just polarization in the SEC, and Texas A&M is the opposite. These guys are balanced, and so. With that being said, I feel like if Marcel Reed comes up short, I feel like this running game can pick him up. So right now, the home field advantage, I'm leaning Texas A&M, but not by much, man.
Yeah.
What's the spread on this one anyway?
Right now, the updated line, Shane, would be A&M 7.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm. Mm, interesting. One score.
But that's what it was last week, too, right?
Yeah.
And then I believe Texas got bet down.
Yeah.
But it was right around, hovered around there all week, I felt like.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know if the swamp momentum can carry out on the road, you know?
Yeah.
They'd love to have another game down there in Gainesville, wouldn't they?
Now, I could ask you the same question I asked last week, Shane. Do the Gator fans, do they want to win this one?
Oh, man. I don't think they're as torn anymore. I think they like it. You know, you get a little... You ever been on like a low-carb diet and then, you know, you try a little bread or a little something, you know? It's like I call it a gateway drug. Next thing you know, you're ripping through a line of Oreos. That's what it feels like, man. They got them a little taste last week, and they're excited. They like the wins. They hate Billy. They still hate him, but they like winning. And if you can go over here and beat another Texas team, they're going to like them so much more. So I feel like they're not as out as they used to be, but they still got their hand on the doorknob, you know, just in case.
The engine's running just in case they want to jump in it.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of engine running, Shane, shout out Cousin Royce. I work for Louisiana Car Marine Diesel Hell Mechanic, yeah, on vessels. If you're wondering, Shane, most vessels don't have service in there. So,
oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna have to Google that when I get done here. Figure out exactly what you mean with that. I'm not around too many marine diesel mechanics.
What? Yeah, I was about to say he's a hell of a lot more handy than we are. You know what?
Yeah, seriously, I barely get this camera working. You know,
I bet you who could get it working, Shane.
Oh, Benny.
Benny Laws, welcome.
Benny, welcome to the family. The family.
And old Sam, he's mad as hell. Roush
picked Mizzou to lose to Alabama.
That son of a bitch.
If I have to watch a freaking Kentucky fan say Missouri can't beat Alabama because of the logo, I'm going to watch Cover 2 instead.
Oh, no. Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh, sounds bad, though. Don't do it. Don't you do it. Come on. Hey, Roush ain't on here today. You notice I'm never on with Roush. That's for a reason, cuz. One of us going to be back in that squad car, and it ain't going to be me.
For Cousin Royce here, Shane, how about his LSU Tigers hosting South Carolina, Shane? Big game here. This was, man, what a matchup this was. This was literally, quite literally, one of the games of the year last year. And there were some shenanigans.
Yeah.
I think we all remember. It was highlighted there on the Netflix as well. I mean, this was a damn game of games.
Yep.
LSU's got some issues. South Carolina's got some issues. Carolina is corrected them last game. Both these teams coming off a bye. But if LSU didn't have their shit together, Shane, they could lose this one. It wouldn't stun me because Lenore Sellers is playing his best football. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Garrett Nussmeier, it's 1 week he's fine. The next week he's injured, needs rest. Then this week, oh, what the hell are you talking about? He ain't injured. I don't know what to make of this game because I don't know how effective the quarterback is, and I don't know how effective the LSU offense is.
I think old Lenore Sellers getting let loose this week. That's what I think, because it worked last year, and Coach talks about it. He says it's a shame that he got hurt halfway through this game because he felt like they would have won it with him, and I do too. But you also look the next 2 weeks going into that Ole Miss game, you know, that's when he looked really sluggish again because he didn't have that opportunity. So I feel like this is a good one, get right game for Sellers and company. And I'm not saying this is going to open up their college football playoff run or anything like that, but man, they could really wreak some havoc in this conference, man. You know what I'm saying? Make some tough decisions at the end of the year. But I feel like South Carolina just needs it for their spirits because I miss having those Gamecocks in the comment section. You know what I'm saying? They've right. done turned tail. There's a handful of them in there, some real troopers, and I commend you for being here, but I miss them mouthy Gamecocks, you know?
And you know, there's a viral tweet. I believe it was, shout out Josh Pate again. But the next five, Shane.
Yeah.
At LSU, Oklahoma at home, Bam at home, at Ole Miss, Texas, at Ole Miss, at Texas A&M. I don't know if you're aware of this, but all five of those They are in the top 11 in the rankings today. Now, things can change drastically week to week. But just the point being that this is a damn murderer's row, perhaps the toughest five-game stretch anybody's going to have in the country. And you're certainly not – well, I mean, hell, they did it last year. They did something similar, went on a damn run. But you really got to get into that thing, I think, with a win to get you some confidence going into you know, to start the murderer's row. You don't want to be limping into it. Does that make sense?
Oh, my gosh. This is the worst. I ain't going to lie. I ain't going to sugarcoat this. And Beamer, he says, we don't run from it. We embrace it. But there's a reason we dropped Miami. Because we got a damn schedule here. And he's right, man. This is a tough, tough road right here. But I'd be lying if I said South Carolina didn't have a shot. I mean, what are we talking here? South Carolina can definitely go down there to Baton Rouge the way they're playing right now and beat up on LSU. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm saying it has to happen. That's the attitude they got to have coming into this thing, because I just don't want a team to fold up. Because once you miss one of these games, maybe the second one, then all of a sudden South Carolina just disappears. And I don't, South Carolina is not that football team. This is a team that was on the cusp of the college football playoffs last year, and they still got the same quarterback. They still got the same coach. And I'd hate to see that kind of slide. So, no, this is a big game for South Carolina, but I could argue the same thing for LSU, man. Absolutely. I mean, this is a team that, yes, has only one loss, but it's funny how we've almost buried them, right? It feels like a dead team walking or something. I don't get it.
Well,
that's
exactly what I wanted to ask you, Shane, because, again, we lost one game on the road.
5 points.
5 points to an elite team, a team that is number one in the SEC right now. And it's fire the coach, quarterback can't play, what the hell are we doing here? And I think this is a markings of a classic left for dead that, you know, we get here by, you know, let's say mid-November, and we're like, oh, shit, this team's, they're 9-2 with one game left to get in the playoff. You know what I mean? Like, how do we bury this team? LSU's got all the talent in the world. It hasn't clicked yet on the offensive side of the football, but if it does... Yeah, they could beat anybody, don't you think? I mean, I think it's a mistake to just kind of overlook them.
Yeah, it's crazy because just 2 weeks ago, we were just talking about how great their defense was. Right. I mean, look at all them damn footballs, man. You know, they'll be just fine. It's the quarterback, and that's why, you know, just as many Mateer hand questions I heard the same about Garrett Nussmeyer. Like, how many footballs did he throw this week? You know, it's like, he's out there with a towel, you know? It's like, that's the kind of, but people want to know, is he healthy? Because if Garrett comes out here healthy and ready to play the football we were expecting, he's got the weapons around him. Hell, they've got some talent around him. This is a team that I love playing with college football. You know what I'm saying? The video game does it right. The attributes are there. We just got to get these kids opportunities, and I feel like that's got to be the theme here.
Right. Well, the theme for this final conference matchup, Shane, Bobby P rides again, bringing that Harley to Neyland Stadium, Shane, as both these teams coming off a bye week. But wouldn't you know it, Shane, Arkansas, mighty Arkansas, wins 4 in a row. This is an all-time streak they have here against them Tennessee Vols. And again, while Tennessee's been able to lick its wounds, Arkansas, who in the hell knows what they're going to be with a blown up coaching staff? You got to imagine they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Tennessee when Arkansas is on defense. I would imagine the offense is going to be much the same because it is still Bobby Petrino, and the offense is not the problem here for the Razorbacks. But be honest, Shane, don't you lie to me. How scared are you about them Razorbacks coming to town looking for their fifth win in a row over Tennessee?
A little. About 20% scared. Okay. 45% if I'm honest, right? You know? It's like I'm trying not to be, but that fat bastard, and that what I mean by that is that damn battered syndrome sitting over there in the corner, and I've seen it. I've seen it a million times. It's usually a backup quarterback. It's not usually a backup coach, but it doesn't. That wouldn't blow my mind, but this is a team that will test us offensively, But can Arkansas do enough defensively to slow down the Tennessee Vols? I feel like at the end of the day, and Josh Heupel talked about this in the conference, it's the only home game we have this month, and it needs to be a home game. And what I mean by that, it needs to be an extremely loud environment that rocks Arkansas, makes them make mistakes, because, you know, they're breaking in a new defense midseason here. So I feel like there are some opportunities for them Vols to jump on them early, but don't overlook Bobby P. I mean, he even told you, we're going to move some boys around and I ain't going to tell you where they're going to be. You know, it's almost going to be a surprise. So they're going to have some shit up their sleeves. So just be ready for it. This is going to be a fun, fun football game.
Now, we hit the narrative, you know, Bobby P rides again and Taylen Green's awesome, yada, yada, yada. But what, Shane, I mean, in the back of your mind, there's also got to be that thought that this could be a get-right game for Tennessee, couldn't it? Where they really could blow the doors off of, again, it's a nice story, it's a nice narrative. I could see a scenario where come Saturday night, Arkansas fans were like, well, that was a fun 24-hour a week of dreams.
Yeah.
Let's get this clown out of here and let's get us a ball coach, because we are totally inept as a program. And they could be heading towards a blowout. I mean, that's a realistic possibility too, don't you think?
Yeah. I think there's a piece of them Razorbacks right now that are just like, maybe, you know, it's like buying them Powerball tickets, you know, somebody's got to win. Maybe it's us with Bobby P, but then if he loses, it's like, well, who the hell are we getting in here? Who are we going to get so that we could go to Knoxville and start winning some of these damn football games? I feel like that's where the Razorback fans are, but you are correct. Tennessee, there's a piece of me that just says Tennessee has an opportunity to, I mean, it could be like a Notre Dame 2.0, you know what I'm saying? Where this thing's over at half.
Right. And where that would happen, I think, Shane?
Yeah.
Tennessee's defense got to step up. How surprised are you if you're looking at some of these numbers? 91 in pass defense efficiency for the Vols, 87 rush defense efficiency for the Vols, 103rd scoring defense in the country. And shockingly, these are all better numbers than your opponent this week, just to let you know how awful Arkansas is on defense. But again, Tennessee should not be this bad on the defensive side of the football, and not that they're going to turn into Oklahoma overnight on the defensive side or anything, but, you know, is that maybe something that could have been corrected during the bye week? And do you anticipate Tennessee looking better on the defensive side of the football moving forward?
Yeah, I think health is the big one here. You know, everybody wants to know where McCoy's at and stuff, but there's some other L's and injuries up front that I feel like needed another week to just get right. So, yeah, I feel like Tennessee needed this bye week pretty damn bad. And so did Arkansas, obviously, with the changeover on the coaching staff. But, yeah, I feel like two healthier teams are going to be going at it this Saturday for sure.
And you know who really wants to see that, Shane?
Oh, Bruce's big brother, Austin.
Yeah, shout out Austin. He gifted a membership, Shane, to Harry McLary. Oh. What a name. Harry, welcome to the family.
Damn, he gave that guy in the cruiser the phone, didn't he?
Yeah, it's going to be a wild one. All right, final one here, Shane.
Yeah.
And shout out, I don't have a graphic or anything because it's,
you don't need it.
Washington State. But, hey, the red-hot Ole Miss Rebels off a bye. They're going to beat the hell out of Washington State. Shout out. David Chambers gave us $10. Ole Miss playing a tune-up this week. Get them ready for Georgia the next weekend. Hotty toddy. Hey, let's just go there, Shane, because any chance we're looking ahead to the mighty Bulldogs?
No, I don't think so. I feel like this is a this is a team that is ready for a big game, you know, just an exciting game where you pull up and it's 40-0 at half. This is your shot right here. And I'm not saying that happens that way, but that's the mindset that I hope Trinidad and company have coming into this one, because it's a team that they can kind of pick their own score with, in my opinion.
Wow.
Yep.
No respect for John Mateer's old team, huh?
No, they lost their quarterback. They've been downhill since he left.
Hey, Chase wants to know, Bobby P, should he wear a neck brace on Saturday?
he's got a chance to do one of the funniest things, right?
Hey, ooh, and then we got Fatal Recall. Cannot wait for the Alabama at Mizzou. Ooh. Top 10, here we come, baby.
Come on.
Hardy, nowhere. Hogtie says the scoreboard may break against Arkansas, Tennessee.
Buddy, there's a chance. I kind of don't want that to happen. If this thing got into a shootout, which team do you got winning? Just a back and forth.
I think Arkansas, perhaps. But they always make mistakes.
Yeah, they do.
Critical fumble.
Yeah.
Critical interception. So probably Tennessee. Just because as bad as Tennessee has looked on defense, Arkansas is even worse.
I just wanted you to say something nice about Tennessee.
Okay.
Mission accomplished.
All right, I think I missed one more. We had Freedom Van. How do you choose the helmets behind you? Because you got a bunch of non-SEC.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Oklahoma, Mizzou, Texas A&M, Texas.
That's right, SEC to me, brother.
That is true. That's the last four in. That's a good point. Never thought about that. How do you get the – is that like a power ranking thing? Is that what you're doing? No? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Texas up there. It can't be true.
Yeah. Well, I did do those because it's Texas and Oklahoma. And Missouri. Okay. And yeah, because they join how they join, you know. Mm-hmm. I think I got East and West, and then it's kind of the four new kids on the block.
I got you. It makes sense.
See, there's a method here.
Yes. It's just alcohol on mine.
Anything else, buddy, before we hop off?
No, look forward to seeing everybody bright and early. I appreciate the cousins hanging out today. So have those notifications on. Appreciate everybody that's donating. I appreciate everybody that's hanging out. Those that give a thumbs up on your way out is very, very appreciated. JP is always the legend. Put together today's shout outs. They go to Brandon McGyver Jr., Stephen Up, Matthew J., Cousin JR., Crazy Cheese, Austin Wayne, Mo Drinkin, Chase Malam, Peyton Brooks, Jacob Rooney, Carl Judkins, Rolls Royce. Hold. SEC Sean, Sam Rumstein, Freedom Van, Fatal Recoil, and Hog Ties. Thank you guys for being so damn awesome. And thank you, JP, for keeping up and taking care of that list for us. I really appreciate everybody. And like I said, I'll be on bright and early, 7:30. We're going to talk about Separation Saturday. We got some more about the coaches and what they had to say in their meetings today and yesterday. And I look forward to seeing everybody there bright and early.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention, Shane, we passed over 1 million video views in just the last 28 days. So that's pretty impressive.
And I got to keep my clothes on.
And I wanted to, I've been waiting for you to jump back on here. We had JP gave us a roundup for the top donors for September, Shane.
Hell yeah.
Fan bases ranked by total donations. A&M, can't hide that money, like Shane says. You know what? Oklahoma, number 2. Tennessee, 3. Missouri, 4. Georgia, 5. Bama, 6. Ole Miss, 7. LSU, 8. South Carolina, 9. Florida, 10. Mississippi State, 11. Texas, 12. 13, Arkansas. 14, Auburn. 15, Kentucky. 16, Vanderbilt. What the hell are you doing? You're all-time good, and you can't donate. And then the top fan base gifted, Georgia, 84, Shane. 84. Damn. Shout out JR with his memberships. Bama, 58. That's you, Stephen Up. We appreciate you. Tennessee, 48. Oklahoma, 35. Missouri, 25. LSU, 20. Texas, 18. Florida, 14. South Carolina, 10. And Arkansas, 5. And that shout out, special shout out to the top individual donors, Shane. Cousin Rick, of course, the legend. Cousin JR, Stephen Up, the Rhino from Oklahoma, and Jordan Gessinger from A&M. He hopped in a couple drunk. I think he was hammered drunk after the Notre Dame game. He was having a good time on here. You know what?
Yeah, sounds like it. You know, hey, I appreciate all of them. And again, if you can't contribute financially, just the thumbs up or passing along the word that the SEC podcast is here means the world to us. That's how we grow, is through you guys. So I appreciate everything y'all done, and I look forward to again seeing y'all in the morning.
Yep, and we'll see you tomorrow evening for the mailbag show.
Get your mailbag question in.
And Steven in the middle of the day with his SEC predictions. I guarantee you, Shane, he is stressed out about making the picks for this weekend. So tune in for that. Until then, we'll catch you with 3 pods tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody. We appreciate you, and we'll see you on the next one.
See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.